Hello and welcome to The Evaluator, a podcast by the Independent Evaluation Unit of the Green Climate Fund. I am your host, Youngji Kim, Communications Officer at the IEU. The IEU aims to conduct evaluations that will help make the GCF faster, smarter, and better. We are committed to collecting and producing high-quality evidence to inform policymaking within the GCF and the broader international climate finance arena that translates into better outcomes on the climate action front. The Evaluator brings you compelling insights on cutting-edge topics related to evaluation, climate action, and development, featuring experts from across the globe as well as from within the IEU. Today, I have a very special guest joining me in the studio, Dr. Jasna Puri, the head of the IEU, who goes by the name Joe. Appointed by the GCF board in 2017 as the head of the IEU, Joe built the IEU from the ground up to a team of 28 members today. She worked tirelessly to ensure that the IEU conduct high-quality evidence-based evaluations that will help make the GCF faster, smarter, and better. Well, unfortunately for the IEU, the 26th meeting of the GCF board held in August was the last GCF board meeting that Joe attended as the head of the IEU, as she will be leaving the GCF to join the International Fund for Agricultural Development, or IFAD, in Rome. Joe's new role at IFAD will be the head of strategy and knowledge for environment, climate, nutrition, gender, and social inclusion. Welcome to the Evaluator, Joe.
Thank you so much, Youngji. Such a pleasure to be here. I'm very excited.
Well, it's really sad to see you leave the GCF, but also congratulations on your new role at IFAD. Today, we would like to hear about your journey in the past 3.5 years as the first head of the Independent Evaluation Unit of the Green Climate Fund. What was it like back in 2017 when you were appointed as the head of the IEU? And you arrived in Songdo to an empty office.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, but these past few days and the couple of past few weeks have made me actually go down that journey to the time that I first arrived in Korea and entered a G Tower in Songdo, which is the office, as you know, of the GCF. And I had a room on the 15th floor, a single room, and that was it, and a laptop in front of me. And essentially, I was told this is the independent evaluation unit, no staff. Very quickly, I managed to get a couple of very young interns. We have a photograph of our interns. They were, again, you know, very, very new. And but from that, I think there were a few things that we learned very quickly. First, although there were terms of reference that had been approved by the board, both for the office as well as for the head, evaluation as a function has had its tumultuous period, I think, across the world and globally. And this was definitely true also for the GCF, where I think people just were suspicious of evaluation just because it was so new. And everyone thought of it as just a watchdog function, as an accountability function, and thought of it as more of a luxury than a requirement. And I think I basically then tried to put myself in their shoes as they were going along, but also to then think of how could a function like this be really useful and important for a growing organization. And that's why I think in the first 2 years at least, until now, I think I do want to keep communicating both the accountability function, which is clearly important, you know, is the GCF making the impact that it's promising or not with the money that it's investing? Are its partners doing that or not? Those are big and good and necessary accountability questions. But alongside are really good learning questions. How can the GCF do something better or smarter or faster? These are, you know, especially for a young institution and knowing that things are always going to be path dependent, unless an institution course corrects quite early on. We have found this from almost all of the Bretton Woods institutions, and I mean this with no disrespect, because I'm going to one, not least because I'm going to one. But Also, because once you set a certain pattern or a certain structure and processes for development, that's what you get grandfathered into. So it was really important to come on quite early on as an evaluation function and also figure out as to how we could help the GCF do processes much better. And I think that's a often discounted value of evaluation that I think people tend to ignore. So with both of those in mind, I think I remember my first task was actually to build a strategy for this office and to present it to the board in essentially in a month and a half. A strategy that was, again, in my case, going to be determining the course of the office for the next 3.5 years at least. And so it was an interesting time. I basically pulled the plugs on, reading widely, but also engaging with a lot of the global leaders in the space because I wanted to ensure that we were leapfrogging as an evaluation function too.
I hear that the IEU faced some tough questions from the very beginning, from the board members, GCF stakeholders, but also from within the IEU itself, such as, what will the IEU evaluate? And it's too early for the Green Climate Fund to have an independent evaluation unit, as the GCF itself is a very young, nascent organization. How did you react to these comments and questions? What did you do over the years to either change or counter such notions?
Thanks, Yunji. So I think I think the challenges were to deal with some of the urban legends, like I said, around evaluations that, evaluations need to be done traditionally in an ex post way, that they are essentially passive, that they can't help a growing and rapidly evolving institution, that they are mostly about the cost of doing stuff rather than actually adding value. And we had to think about creating that value and making that value understood. And because of the way that the GCF is structured, that is, we work with accredited entities, it was also thinking about what could bring about a culture change within those organizations, because ultimately, that's whom we are dependent on the accredited entities to deliver in a very, in an impactful way on the ground. At the same time, also recognize that the GCF was born out of a very tumultuous process, which was the result of negotiations amongst 194 countries in Paris. And there were a lot of expectations associated with the GCF. So I think we basically broke this up, and I want to say we, because as we go along, I do want to acknowledge that while, of course, I had this big vision, and of course, it was all very ambitious, on the way came along these wonderful colleagues who, so in 2017, I didn't have too many, but from 2018, basically started, and that's essentially just 2.5 years ago, started to come along many colleagues, and of course, you're one of them, who have been really precious and very, very important in this entire journey. And I want to keep recognizing, the dream team that I've been working with. And yes, we've seen our own challenges as well, but overall, it's been really important to recognize that we've now achieved a lot, but a lot of it has been possible because I've had this team that has also shared the vision with me. So while I keep that as an important undertow in all of the remarks that I make, I do want to go forward and then sort of say, okay, there were two things that I wanted to think about. One was the challenge of generating trust internally. So it wasn't just the board recognized, right? And this was the question of, how within GCF, both the secretariat and the accredited entities also saw the value of evaluations. And that was important because I wasn't going to try and fight the fight of having evaluations as a function or as a product by myself. And it was clear that we needed that support. And the second one, you're absolutely right. We needed the board also to come along on that journey. And this has been a journey, I think, for all of us. So, and in that, I think one of the pathways that we thought about was, well, that for the IU to be taken seriously, it wasn't just that the IU was going to advocate for itself. We needed supporters and advocators and
giants who were supporting us outside, who could then go and talk about, you know, the leadership that the IU was showing through its own innovation and through its evaluation and through its evidence. So one of the things that we adopted very early on was a tagline for the IU. And the IU tagline, and actually it's the cause for mirth within the team, because when we're having fun, you know, someone will pipe up with, "What's the tagline?" And we'll shout, "Trusted evidence in foreign policies, high impact," right? So that was important, because in those three lines or in those six words, you were essentially saying what was the entire function of the IU. You wanted to produce trusted evidence, but trust is a function not just of the person who's getting the evidence, it was also a function of us in ensuring that we were bringing high credibility and rigor and unbiased evaluations. And not just us, everyone else needed to recognize that too. So we knew that the importance of perceptions was important, even though we were working in a space of evidence and data. So having, you know, something like that that could unite us as a team and make everyone aware of our mission statement was important. And that message bitterly presented was also something that I took to the board. And it was easy to communicate, and they appreciated it. They appreciated the fact that we were looking to build trusted evidence that could help to inform policies that hopefully would lead to high impact, while recognizing that we're not the only players in the field.
The IEU successfully completed and submitted to the board 7 evaluations so far. Specifically, the IEU looked at and assessed the GCF's performance in the initial resource mobilization period, and the IEU also looked at the GCF's Results Management Framework, or RMF, the Readiness and Preparatory Support Program, RPSP, the Country Ownership Approach, the Environment and Social Safeguards, ESS, and the GCF's Simplified Approval Process pilot scheme called SAP, and its accreditation function. Of the 7 evaluations, which one, or should I say which baby, is particularly dear to your heart, Joe?
You said it, yeah? You said baby. It's very hard for me to separate and to pick a baby that I really prefer, because they've been really close to my heart. There was the first evaluation that we did, which was on the Readiness and Preparatory Support Program, that was the first evaluation that we did, and therefore it was, you know, the firstborn, so to speak. But also the Results Management Framework evaluation, where we basically took this idea to the board that although yes, there were good proposals that were coming in, what we were seeing in the evaluations was that 2/3 almost of GCF projects did not have a plan for baseline data collection, and that more than 90% of the projects that the GCF board was approving were more than likely to be overstating their impacts or likely impacts by a large margin, so that their so-called purported impacts were not credible numbers. And these have very important consequences for the reputation and the credibility of GCF as an institution, and also for the optics of the institution.
And which evaluation of the 7 completed ones was most challenging? I think I have an idea of what this must have been, but please tell us.
The evaluation that was the hardest, not just internally for my team and I, but it was also the hardest in terms of the timing and the overall visibility that it had, but also the importance that it had in terms of the possible impact that it was going to have, and the political situation and the context that we were in, was the forward-looking performance review. But it was an important evaluation primarily because it was the first evaluation that we asked the board to approve, because it would help to inform the overall replenishment process. And I think for the legitimacy of the GCF, it was important to have that there to inform the replenishment process. So not only was it born out of a space which was interesting and challenging internally, but it was also placed in a context that was very complex and challenging. And we so we essentially delivered what is a agency-wide evaluation of the performance of the GCF in a space of less than 6 months. So not only was it logistically a huge task, an evaluation like this is, you know, undertaken by most other evaluation offices in, say, about 18 months. We did it in 6 months, and it was a Herculean task, even if I say so myself. And the team was just, you know, amazing. That's the only word I have for them. They were indefatigable. They were filled with energy. They had the same mission. I mean, we were all driven. It was like being at graduate school, but we were doing, you know, and we were basically just living in the office. But we also were all, we all came together in one team because we recognized that as an this was a mission that was far greater than our individual selves. It was also important because it was coming at a time where we knew that we needed to hold ourselves hold our own as an evaluation office and be highly faithful to our own mandate and the mandate given to us by the board, in that we needed to be credible and unbiased while staying true to the idea that, of course, we wanted the GCF to be stronger and faster and better.
As important as the forward-looking performance review, or FPR, was to the GCF as a whole and also to the IEU, I also know that this comprehensive evaluation of the GCF performance in its first 5 years contained some very tough messages for the GCF board and the secretariat. What were some of these tough messages?
So the first recommendation that we made was with respect to access and speed. Like I said earlier, we brought out very stark images about how long it takes to access GCF just to get approval from the board. And also to get the first disbursement. And overall, this was anywhere between 1,100 days to 1,500 days, depending on the size of agency, depending on the size of funding that you were looking for and the risk category that you belong to. But that range, 1,100 to 1,500 days, was an eye-opening number. And I remember that board members and secretariat staff alike, but also people outside, sat up when they looked at that number. And we had done, like I said, a portfolio analysis. So our first recommendation was reduce access times and increase speed of implementation and disbursement, right? The second was increase the size and improve quality of implementation. And this directly came from this idea that we were finding in the key finding that we were making in the overall evaluations of the proposals that were coming to the GCF and were being approved, that is that the quality of these proposals were not very high and there needed to be far better due diligence. So the better quality were essentially emerged from the finding on related to the far higher due diligence that was required. The third was that we looked at the portfolio and we realized that although there was quite a bit of thinking on mitigation and adaptation, and the GCF uses a concept called grant equivalence to understand as to how much it's investing in mitigation and adaptation. In dollar terms, the GCF, at least as of 2019, was only investing 37% of its overall portfolio in adaptation. And this is important because in the governing instrument, the GCF has asked to balance its overall portfolio. And of course, we accepted the fact that if you account for the fact that non-grant instruments have a risk associated with it, so that a dollar that is given out as a grant is very different from a dollar that has to be repaid because it also builds into it a certain risk equivalent. We understand that. But the fact is that the human being on the ground, the last mile, the person on the ground who is receiving that dollar is oblivious and should not care about whether that dollar is coming from a loan or whether that dollar is coming from a grant.
And for that human being on the ground, that dollar for adaptation or mitigation should be the same. And that's the important point that we were making to the board, that the GCF has to start thinking far more about its adaptation portfolio. Mitigation portfolio projects can be larger by default, just because you are investing in large infrastructure. But if you really want to make a difference to people's resilience and their vulnerability levels in the current time, you have to deal with adaptation. And you have to deal with adaptation in big ways. It's not okay to come in small ways to think about how resilience can be improved. And there, GCF has to show leadership. Leadership in not just thinking about how adaptation may be delivered at scale, but also innovate so that it can bring in the private sector far more. And here, the world has moved on. We've already seen that ESG impact bonds, for example, are put out. The GCF, at least till last year, was not doing much in that space. And under this recommendation, we essentially encouraged and nudged the board and the secretariat to think far more about these innovative instruments that could bring in and scale up, help the GCF scale up additional finance. And last but not least, we also made a fairly controversial recommendation about increased delegation of authority from the board to the secretariat. This within GCF circles is pretty well known, and it was controversial. It was controversial because there were different schools of thought, and there continue to be different schools of thought within the system, many of whom who think that the secretariat is not old enough to undertake implementation and is not mature enough, and others who think that it is a sine qua non, that this additional delegation of authority is a sine qua non for an institution at this point if it wants to grow in different ways and be innovative and be responsible. Our evaluation came out in a very strong way to essentially recommend to the board that increased delegation was required. If the GCF board is asking increased accountability and responsibility from the secretariat, then it must give it increased authority. As many folks who are maybe listening to this may understand, may realize, this was controversial because, again, different schools of thoughts existed.
Thank you for that. Coming back to the signature kind of evaluation, which is the forward-looking performance review of the GCF, or the FPR. When I joined the IEU, I heard about the many days and nights you and the team spent together working in the office to deliver the FPR in time for the first replenishment of the GCF. You literally camped out in the office, I hear, not being able to go home, you know. So, you know, thanks to the hard work done by the IEU, the FPR was delivered in a timely manner, and it informed the GCF's first replenishment process very nicely. Since the submission of FPR to the board, how much do you think has changed within the GCF ecosystem? What has the GCF done so far to improve its system and processes since you delivered this important evaluation?
Yeah, I think, you know, if you, I think the success of most evaluations has to lie in how much it gets absorbed into the fabric of an institution. And almost ironically, I wish there was a single metric for, you know, that I could spout out to you and sort of say, well, this shows that it was very impactful. But if you, so let me just give you a few qualitative indicators, right? One is the fact that after the evaluation, and many contributors, also came up and talked to me and to my team directly about what we were finding in terms of different aspects and processes of the GCF, just so that they could think a little bit differently about the GCF. These were important contributors to the GCF. They were also responsible for a very, very strong replenishment that the GCF witnessed as part of its first replenishment, and we got replenished for almost $9 billion. The second is the fact that in the updated strategic plan, almost every incarnation of the updated strategic plan for the GCF that is going to guide GCF strategy between 2020 and 2023, what we're seeing is that almost every element of this forward-looking performance review has been included in the updated strategic plan. So I was invited to almost all of the replenishment discussions that were held in 2019, and I carried, you know, the emerging findings and of course the full report with me every time I went. And the first half of every replenishment discussion, the first half day of every replenishment discussion, essentially featured the forward-looking performance review. Mm-hmm. And to its credit, I mean, there were a whole lot of potential replenishers and potential contributors sitting around listening to what were very strong messages coming from the forward-looking performance review. And it was quite amazing to actually see how much interest it generated, but also how much credibility and strength it gave to the overall vision of GCF, because people appreciated that here was an institution that was not afraid to learn, mm-hmm. and not afraid to learn in an open way. That then Yanni Glamarek, who is the current executive director of the secretariat, had just joined secretariat as the executive director in April, I think, of 2019. And Yannick, I think, opened a lot of his sessions with, I'm holding the FPR in my hand, and I read it at least two or three times, and every time I read it, I discover something different, right? And so I think it's really the fabric of the conversations and the form of dialogue that changed when we brought out the forward-looking performance review. And again, it's credit, I think, to the remarkable staff that the GCF has, because they're all really dedicated to learning and wanting to understand as to how we can do this better.
It's great to hear that the executive director of the GCF referred to the FPR quite often. And also the GCF secretariat takes gracefully these important lessons coming out of the FPR. The FPR was acknowledged and utilized in climate finance negotiations at the 25th Conference of the Parties to the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, specifically a paragraph 2I of the COP decision 12/CP25 specifically says, COP welcomes the forward-looking performance review of the GCF. The FPR was instrumental in providing the technical input that was needed to guide the COP negotiations on matters relating to the Green Climate Fund, which is an operating entity of the financial mechanism of the UN Climate Change Convention. Also, I want to highlight that the IEU was acknowledged and appreciated by several board members at the 26th meeting of the board, because the IEU has really done a tremendous work under Joe's leadership, not just with the FPR, but with all other evaluations and the IEU's work to support learning and capacity building within the GCF ecosystem, but also in the larger climate finance arena. The board's acknowledgement of the IEU's work at B26, I believe, is a living testimony that the GCF board and stakeholders are seeing the value of IEU's evaluations. Well, due to time constraints, we would need to conclude our conversation here, but I am very happy to announce that Joe will be with us for another episode of The Evaluator. So be sure to tune in and join us for another great episode with Dr. Jasna Puri, the head of the IEU. Remember to tweet your thoughts about the show at GCF_eval with the hashtag TheEvaluator. That's all for now. Thank you very much for listening. Signing off from the IEU headquarters in Songdo, Republic of Korea.